KCO, 1230 AM, W255 DN, Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Long-awaited news from the Middle East. Word that Israel and Hamas have agreed to a Gaza ceasefire and hostage deal. Mark Lowen of the BBC in Jerusalem.
We have now just had a statement from a Hamas official saying that they have told the BBC that the movement, i.e. Hamas, has handed over its approval of the ceasefire agreement, which was the outstanding approval that we were waiting for, because it seemed that the Israeli government negotiating team had approved it from their point of view.
Well, CBS's Robert Berger has more on what this all appears to mean for hostages who were held by Hamas.
Keep in mind that there are 98 Israeli hostages altogether in Gaza. So this only includes 33. Negotiations on a second phase, which would see the release of the remaining hostages, would take place, start about 16 days into the agreement.
CBS News Special Reports. I'm Steve Kathan.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News, your news roundup in a quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Governor Tony Evers says he's working to reform gun laws in Wisconsin, and no doubt he'll face resistance from Republicans. Madison Bureau Chief Savannah Tomei Olson explains.
The governor says he'll be looking at things like red flag laws, expanding background checks, and gun storage laws. In 2019, Evers called lawmakers to a special session to address gun violence. Republican leaders famously called the legislature into session and immediately adjourned, gaveling in and gaveling out, something they've done multiple times since. Now, since Evers took office, state Democrats have proposed at least 30 bills they say would make Wisconsin safer, but none of them have passed because Republicans haven't supported them and they have control of the legislature. Evers signed an executive order creating the Office of Violence Prevention, surrounded by advocates and leaders. Here's the big question. Can he get Republicans on board?
Just weeks after a school shooting took the lives of a student and an educator who never returned home, common sense gun safety reform and reducing crime and gun violence must finally be a shared priority that transcends politics and partisanship. Reducing crime and violence should be an issue that receives earnest bipartisan support this session.
To create this new Office of Violence Prevention, Evers used $10 million from leftover federal funding to get it started. But going forward, it'll need money allocated in the state budget to keep it going, and that is up to the legislature.
And the Wausau School District is about to go through some major changes to their elementary schools by consolidating to just four of them. One of the biggest concerns for parents has been the new bus routes. But the schools are confident that they'll be able to make ends meet by adding more routes. And if you're a parent with questions, the district says to reach out, and they'll also be sending a memo in just a few weeks of how the changes are going to look. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Bucks clobber the Kings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks jumped out to an early lead and beat the Kings 130-115. Milwaukee with a 21-2 run in the first quarter. Doc Rivers.
We came out, played the right way, ball moved. You know, I think seven or eight guys had over nine attempts. You know, 45 threes. That just tells you the ball's moving.
College hoops, Greg Gard gets his 200th career win as Wisconsin held on to win 70-68 over Ohio State at the Kohl Center. David Joplin with 30 points as Marquette gets past DePaul in overtime, 85-83. NFL, Matt LaFleur on what does Jordan Love need to improve as the Packers quarterback.
I think the next step is just to continue to evolve as a vocal leader. I think that just kind of comes with the position naturally. And I think he's taken steps to get there, but I think he can really demand a lot because the locker room, they respect him.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Breezy today and becoming cloudy. As winds switch to out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, it'll shove our highs to near 20 degrees. And we've got light snow moving in this evening. Mainly after 5 o'clock, it'll wind down in the overnight hours. Accumulations look around a half an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 10 degrees at our studios.
Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m., it's another edition of the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I'm Chad Holmes, joined former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself as we talk high school sports, recapping and previewing the high school basketball and hockey action, plus special guests. At 6:25, we'll be talking to Merrill High School boys basketball coach Troy Pieper as the Blue Jays battling in the Wisconsin Valley Conference. And then at 7:06, it's our student athlete guest from the defending state champion Central Wisconsin Storm. We'll talk to senior captain Ava Rohde. It's the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction. Wednesday night from 6 till 8 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Top of the show at 2 p.m. I dissect Jack Smith's January 6th insurrection report. You're not going to want to miss this lawyer lady breaking it down for you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Pump day!
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with the outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, January 15th, 2025. It is
Pump Day!
Yeah, you may have already heard that. It's because the camel got way too excited.
It was a premature camelation. Which I think there's medication to fix that.
It happens to all of us someday.
Welcome into the show. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Madison. Let's check in with our friend, our colleague, the host of Up North News Radio on beautiful Lake Wissota, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, every morning from 6 until 8. How's the weather on Lake Wissota, Patrick?
Who's been here the entire time but knows when to keep his mouth shut and just... let everything else play out. I'm fine. The sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. How else would you like to change the subject?
I'm for those watching on the stream. By the way, our friend Trigvi Olson gonna, I think, join us tomorrow. He's traveling the country. Doing a lot of post-mortems on the election.
Is this like his New Year's resolution to not be on the radio with me? I'm 0 for 2025 at this point.
I think he's just nervous because now that he had a birthday, he's only a year apart from you, and he's really dreading the fact you're going to give that back to him in spades, which you should in all appropriateness. So.
Birthday snowflake.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. For those watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, X, whatever we're on, I have my Wisconsin Badger hoodie on today, which Mom will be disappointed because she doesn't like it when I wear a hoodie. She thinks it should only be when you're jogging. She's not a fan of the hoodie.
Not wrong. Okay.
I'm celebrating because I went to the game last night with my great friend Jeff Daniels. He took pity and gave me his extra ticket. And then we met up with our other friend Rob Wheat, the Richland Center Mafia, and we witnessed Greg Gard's 200th win as coach of the Wisconsin Badgers last night, as they knocked off, it was a nail biter, which it should not have been, but they survived against the Ohio State University, the Kohl Center. Badgers now 24th in the country, Pat. Greg Gard getting it done.
That's outstanding.
Yeah.
That's great. Good for him. Congratulations, Badgers. Starting 0-2 in the Big Ten. Now they're 4-2. Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end of Pat Kreitlow's knowledge about Wisconsin Badger basketball.
It's just because of where you live up there, you're not a Badger fan?
Oh, no, totally a Badger fan. I'm just not in a position to give you a good play-by-play of the game, especially when you were the one who was there. So answer me this. Let's get to what people really think about Todd Allbaugh at a Badger game.
Yeah.
What do you like to eat? What do you drink there? What do you get?
Thank you so very much for asking. I don't often get food and beverage there because it's a little pricey. I tend to go either.
Why do you not want to support
after
college athletics? I don't understand.
Last night,
NIL money's got to come from someplace.
you got that right. I did get a hot chocolate because it was a little nippy walking from the top of State Street down to the Kohl Center. And I have to say, it was actually a well-done hot chocolate for a commercial venue like that.
Can I tell you, I have a story about Badger hot chocolate.
Yeah.
I've been to exactly one Badger football game.
All right.
And it was on one of the coldest, windiest days possible back in 2017, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And we're up in the upper deck, and we are just freezing. And around the start of the third quarter or so, we said, we got to go get a hot chocolate. I know the lines are long, but let's go wait in line. As we're heading toward a concession stand, you know, one of those mystery doors opens up and then a vendor comes out, you know, where they kind of reload their trays and everything. This guy comes out of the door in the middle of the hallway or the corridor or the concourse and starts saying, you know, hot chocolate, hot chocolate. I mean, a bunch of us almost tackled this poor fella. And the hot chocolate comes in these, well, it did then, this really nice insulated mug that we still use every day to this day for coffee. But that mug of hot chocolate, it's hyperbole to say it was a lifesaver, but it changed everything to have something nice and warm in your hands while you were trying to watch the Badger game.
Yeah.
So, yes.
In the hot moment, chocolate, it was a lifesaver.
Hot chocolate at a Badger event on a cool day, strong support. I'm right there with you.
There you
good purchase, Mr. Alba.
Thank you
so
very much.
Now you just get Styrofoam cups.
It was, but yeah.
Seriously, just Styrofoam cups?
Well, in the Kohl Center last night it was, but it was a nice one. It had the Motion W on it anyway.
Okay.
The Badgers are back in action. They're going to be going out west, at least for now. It's still on. Badgers play at USC in Los Angeles on Saturday at 1 o'clock local time, and then they play on Tuesday at UCLA. We'll see how that happens. Of course, the LA fires still continue to rage. High wind warnings, particularly for western Los Angeles today, a different area than what was affected earlier. You can go to civicmedia.us to find out legitimate places like the Red Cross and a World Kitchen to donate and do your part to support folks out in Los Angeles. One other top story, Pat, I know our listeners across the network on ABC and CBS Radio News heard this at the top of the hour. But according to multiple sources at this hour, a deal has been reached in the negotiations between Israel and Hamas to release hostages, at least 33 of the 98 being held in Gaza, to establish a ceasefire, according to one U.S. official. As we say now, it's been confirmed by multiple sources. The national folks will take care of a lot of this. But to me, Pat, it's notable because Anthony Blinken, U.S. Secretary of State, has been working tirelessly right up until when the clock on this administration runs out. And unlike Jimmy Carter, who just passed away and we had the funeral where hostages in that situation, American hostages, were released after he left office, we may see some real tangible results for the Biden administration here.
Well, let's make sure we understand history here. History has given Ronald Reagan a pass on this.
Oh, no, I'm saying Carter's people
many
did all
believe,
the work. Yes,
yes,
that's
Carter's people did all the work. Okay, yeah. And that it was Reagan.
I did not mean that to a slight former president.
Yeah, yeah. But again, I'm seeing the same thing online. Let's make clear that this was something that was done because Antony Blinken and the Biden administration worked tirelessly to get this done. And that if there is any delay whatsoever, and it happens next Monday onward, so that Trump thinks he can take the credit, he's seriously mistaken if he thinks there's not going to be tremendous pushback to that. So let the record show who actually got it done, if indeed it takes effect, and we all pray it does.
Yeah, absolutely. Tony on Facebook saying that guaranteed Trump takes the credit, and he probably will regardless, so he'll attempt to. But no, I'm with you, Pat. I'm saying that history has shown that it was the Carter administration that did all that work, and there may have been some back deals by the incoming Reagan administration to negotiate with the Iraqis to hold those hostages, or Iranians, pardon me, to hold those hostages until noon on Election Day. So unlike the Carter folks did the work that didn't get the credit, hopefully the Biden folks and Anthony Blinken do on this situation.
Exactly.
Yeah, Trump has been saying, or he did say in at least one press conference, he said that if they don't get that ceasefire resolved before he's in office, there'll be hell to pay or whatever. Right. And then he's asked what he meant by that, and he's like, you know what I mean. So he's going to say that because he said that, that's why it happened.
Sure. Sure thing, Yosemite Sam. Yeah.
All right. Whatever. Closer to home, Pat, article on yesterday's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There was indications that Tony Evers was going to hang it up after two terms, but he has hinted that he might want to be three-term Tony. The only other, of course, Wisconsin governor who's been able to do that is former Republican governor Tommy G. Thompson, who actually won four terms. And now Republicans are lining up to take on Tony Evers if he is, in fact, the Democratic nominee in 2026. U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany, of course, who represents your part of the state up there in northern Wisconsin. We also have a guy who says he's another Navy SEAL veteran who owns Pindell Global Precision, Inc., seriously considering 2026 runs, along with Washington County Executive Josh Showman, who is being floated as a potential contender. Other Republicans, yes, Eric Covney might want to come back to Wisconsin once again. Also, State Senator Patrick Teston and Racine businessman Will Martin. Even former Rep. Sean Duffy, who is looking at being the Secretary of Transportation, could come back home. Pat, first of all, you know the Democratic side as well as anyone. What's your gut say? Well, this article is saying that Democrats are saying that 60-40 Evers is going to take a third term.
I think it's all just one big parlor game at the moment, and one that, frankly, not to poo-poo it, but, I mean, it's an inside baseball thing. Most people could not care less at this point. It's all speculative until announcements are made. Evers has no reason to make any announcement until as late as possible to avoid looking like a lame duck and to keep Republicans guessing. I thought it was funny that the Journal Sentinel article mentions this one business guy. Mm-hmm. I'd never heard mention of him before. There's no mention of him anywhere else in the article. And you do a Google search on the guy, and there's nothing here. It's almost like, I have to tell you a TV story.
Yes.
Where right out of the movie Anchorman and Ron Burgundy, we had a previous anchor, a producer, who was dared to drop a name in the teleprompter and to see if this anchor would read it. And he did. So he put his roommate's name in there. And he said, not only is it, you know, Todd Alba's birthday, it's Arbor Day here in Eau Claire, blah, 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 blah. And he just read it, and the producer wished his roommate a happy birthday that way. I'm looking at this story, and I'm thinking, did this just happen to this reporter? Did he get fed a name, and he just dropped it in there, and you know, somebody lost a bet?
It's Molly Beck and Lawrence Andrea, so I trust them. I don't know.
I do, too. That's what I'm saying. Did they get punked by somebody?
Right.
And everything after this is what we see all the time. Let's use Tom Tiffany as an example. Have no idea where he's going to go on this. But what happens now that his name is in that article? You know what happens.
Oh, sure.
He can raise money.
Yeah,
he's going to raise money like crazy. You put your name out there for that. And then at some point you go, oh, family considerations, or, you know, oh, my arm is broken, or, oh, you know, I really want to pass this bill in Washington, D.C. For a guy like Tiffany, who would not stand a chance, the guy who wants to turn all of pristine northern Wisconsin into a sulfide mine and dig it all up, is going nowhere. He can't say anything without a subject, a verb, and illegal aliens. There's nothing else to him. And the folks around that support him love that, but that means nothing in Wisconsin. And Sean Duffy, I'll close by saying this. His confirmation hearing is today for Secretary of Transportation. There's a great column in the Wisconsin Examiner, wisconsinexaminer.com. I forget the fellow's name, but basically he's covered Sean Duffy for years and years and looks at his record and is like, there is nothing that indicates Sean Duffy is capable of running a massive department with any transportation experience. So, yeah, sure, run for governor then.
There's Pat Grillo's take. Interesting, on the Democratic side, yeah, I mean, sure, it doesn't mean anything until Evers makes a decision, but I think it's pretty well known. Josh Call has been pining to run for governor from the Attorney General's office for quite some time.
On a very deep Democratic bench. Oh, so many Democrats will run if Evers doesn't. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it will be a free-for-all on the Democratic side. Speaking of the governor, going to come back. He made an announcement yesterday taking on gun violence. Was Pat Kreitlow's take? Yours as well. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Our recent reporting explored the massive contributions to Donald Trump's inaugural fund, reportedly reaching $170 million. What are the rules as to how that money is spent? The short answer is, there aren't any. The Federal Election Commission allows private donations to support inaugural activities. This year, that's a parade, a rally, two luncheons, a tea, three dinners, three inaugural balls, and fireworks at Trump's Sterling Golf Club. The FEC requires reporting of donations over $200, but sets no limits or dictates how it's used. Let's say that the Trump inauguration has 12 events and they cost an astronomical $2 million each, a whopping $24 million. That leaves $146 million left. When the inauguration is over, will we know how the leftover money will be used? We won't. While a Trump campaign source told the New York Times some would be used for Trump's presidential library, there are no rules dictating how that money is used. The Inaugural Fund Integrity Act is expected to be reintroduced in Congress in January, which would set a limit of $50,000, require immediate disclosure of contributions over $1,000, and ban corporate and super PAC donations. That's a start, but the legislation still doesn't require disclosure of how that extra money gets spent. Find out more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Shaking his frozen on-air booty every morning at 6 o'clock to get you up, get you going, and to keep himself warm as he ice skates across Lake Wissota. Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network every morning from 6 until 8, host of Up North News Radio. Always a pleasure, Patrick. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon.
What improv group did you do time with that you can just whip these things out? Ice skating across a frozen Lake Wissota, shaking his tail feathers. You have a gift, my friend.
I don't know about that. Just 17 years working at WRCO where you had to make stuff up because we didn't have computers or anything else. Back when I started in 87. We had the teletype had just been taken out, but sitting in the tele, it used to be, for those that know, there used to be an actual, like, cabinet where the teletype machine sat. There was a window on one side, double doors on the other. And just before I started, they replaced it with a dot matrix printer.
I was just going to say the same thing, that at my first station in Rice Lake, they did the same thing. So instead of this very comforting in the background, you hear
yep.
Right. Dot matrix
really took the romance
so
out of it.
Right. And so what would happen is, and Pat knows, I mean, there would be a big roll. So like all of the updates from the Associated Press and UP, whatever, and the weather and the sports. And so you'd come in the morning and there'd be, I'm not kidding, like 50 feet or more of dot
of
matrix
type paper.
Right.
Yeah.
And you put it on the big long cabinet and you have a ruler and you tear your stories.
We found an improvement on the ruler.
Really?
And I can't believe more stations didn't have this. A cement trowel.
Oh, a trowel, gosh, for, like, that's, you know, good.
Oh, because it has its nice sturdy handle,
right,
on it. Oh, it was a big difference maker.
Oh,
boy, are we getting granular now.
Old people of broadcasting 101.
Old people, tell us about making barrels at 855-75-CIVIC. Call in now.
Oh, Lordy. Okay, so anyway, Pat, I want to get your take on this, and unfortunately we don't have too much time, but the quick version is Governor Evers yesterday unveiled a new violence prevention, and in the stories today, it's saying office in the wake of the school shooting here in Madison. Appropriated wants $10 million to run it in a sweeping pack, and also a sweeping package of gun violence and public safety measures. The office will work with local partners, including law enforcement agencies, nonprofits, school districts, and gun shop owners to reduce violence. And it should be, quote unquote, a shared priority that transcends politics, the governor said. Now, that's the summary from WisPolitics, which is quoting the Scott Bauer story in the Associated Press. I guess what's your take on this? But B, yesterday when this was rolled out, it was being called an agency. Now it's being called an office. I agree with some of the bills that he's trying to put forth, and the Republicans gaveled in and gaveled out and wouldn't even debate. But I question the communication, the marketing here It appears to some as yet another government bureaucracy that's really not going to address a problem.
Unless it is an office that finally takes an amalgamation of things. And you know this full well, when people would call you at the senator's office and say, I cannot navigate this bureaucracy. And if there's an office that instead takes, you know, a little bit of this about gun safety, a little bit of this from domestic violence, and a little bit of this from another group, and gives you that clearinghouse of information and makes it easier for law enforcement and for community leaders to connect and get resources, then that could be a good thing. Now, we don't know which way this would ultimately go. I'm just giving the case that there could be a reason why you'd want to do that. That's how the governor explained it. And I think what I want people to take away from this is the governor is at least trying to get at the root causes of violence, and not just criminal violence, but like trigger locks on guns for accidental, you know, gun violence and things like that. He's trying to address root causes. We played a soundbite from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss this morning that said, Robin Voss saying, the only solution to crime prevention is more police. He could not be more wrong. That's not crime prevention. The police are called in to respond, to investigate. They do some public service work, but they're law enforcement. If you're going to address root causes, that's a totally different thing. But all Robin Voss knows is, you know, to pump up the police, law and order, all that stuff, even as he and other legislative Republicans are the ones leading the charge to defund the police by forcing local governments into such tight budgets.
Part of the quote from Voss was, quote, it's not well thought out. It's a bunch of touchy-feely bureaucrats that are going to go around wasting time, wasting money, certainly not putting forth the effort where it's deserved. You know what the most effective violence prevention office is? The police, unquote.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't be more wrong.
I don't think he's entirely wrong. If people, if the general populace, speaking of things that people don't get into, when they hear that, they're going to go, yeah, if I want to be protected, I'm going to put my trust in my friends and neighbors I sit in church with who are my local law enforcement officers. He's not entirely wrong, Pat, in my opinion.
But what will law enforcement tell you when they're being completely candid about this? They're saying, I don't want to be a social worker.
Yes.
They're saying,
yes,
I don't want to be engaged in public speaking. I want the professionals who do professional counseling to do that.
Agreed.
So let's have something that makes it easier for those other entities who don't walk around with a gun and a badge to do the work and take that workload off of police so that they can do what they do best.
As a former chairman of a police and fire committee, I could not agree with you more, but that's my point, Pat. Why don't the people at Governor Evers' office, why are they surrounding themselves with kids from school shootings instead of calling Jim Palmer at the Wisconsin Police Association and getting a couple of actual law enforcement officers to stand next to him and say, from a law enforcement perspective, this is going to help us and make communities safer?
And as Evers said, and said in his press release and news conference, he has tried many different things to try to get Republicans to work with him, come together and work on some of these problems. Take red flag laws, 90% approval in the state for the most basic gun safety thing out there. And this legislature has done nothing but roadblock it. So if he's trying something different, how many more times can you say, gosh, I hope Republicans will work with me on something? Well, when you get that middle finger enough, you say, you know what? Here's an idea to try. It may not pass. It may not last more than 2 years, but at least he's trying. Robin Voss is doing nothing to protect our kids from school shootings or anybody else from violence. He's doing nothing.
Yeah, I agree on that part of the Republicans aren't coming to the middle to help out. But again, no. I just don't understand why. I mean, you had Sean Barnes, the outgoing police chief of Madison, saying this is great. Why wasn't he there? Why weren't there members of the Wisconsin Police Association at that?
I'm not going to worry about who was at a press conference or not.
It's the optics.
Set up the office.
It's the optics.
Set up the office, and if it works, it works. People don't care about the press conference. Look at this thing in 2 years when he's going to ask the legislature to put state money into it. And if it works, then he was right.
Yes.
If it doesn't work, they won't fund it.
Fair enough.
Got to try something.
Fair enough. Okay. Pat Kreitlow, fantastic to have
you
along.
So fun to fight with. Let's do that more.
All right, let's do that more.
All right.
Have a great day. Don't fall through the ice at Lake Wissota, my friend. Be careful.
See you later.
See you later. Come on back. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
As we come into 2025 and out of 2024, the cattle prices are still holding strong and continue to push near record highs. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is here to give us a look as to why these prices have been so fruitful.
Poking at record highs at the end of the week last week in terms of live cattle prices on the board here in the futures market. That's been fueled by multiple things. First off, obviously, the cash market just continues to be extremely strong. The cattle aren't out there, plus still have that feeder cattle import ban from Mexico in place. Just tightens up the supplies, and we've just seen those cattle prices continue to climb and climb. Now, on the live cattle side of things too, also we've still continued to see good demand as a consumer likes U.S. beef and has been buying that U.S. beef for their dinner table. That is keeping some pretty good support under this price here.
Heinberg says that with the demand for U.S. beef continuing to be high, that the cattle market has a bright outlook as we continue through the year. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those midday markets right after this.
I think the collaboration that we see between Wisconsin Farm Bureau and these other commodity groups gives us a cohesive message, a singular stance in agriculture that offers credibility. It gives us a cohesive message and support for all of our agricultural organizations.
WFBF.com.
It's easy to join.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture,
Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance, the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin, is here for you even when the weather isn't. With crop hail damage, protect your operation from hail, fire, lightning, and more. Visit ruralmutual.com/farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at what those markets are doing midday on a Wednesday. We got a mix as we take a look at the markets, with cash corn up 3.75, up 4.78 1/4, and new crop corn up 1/4 at 4.57. March soybeans are up 3/4 at 10.48 1/4, while November soybeans are down 3 at 10.46 1/2. March wheat is down 1 1/4 at 5.45. And July wheat is also seeing losses, down 1 3/4 at 5.66 3/4. Milk is trying to push up as February Class 3 milk contracts are up 1 at 1986 a hundredweight, and March Class 3 contracts are also up 1 at 1966 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Breezy today and becoming cloudy. As winds switch to out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, it'll shove our highs to near 20 degrees. And we've got light snow moving in this evening. Mainly after 5 o'clock, it'll wind down in the overnight hours. Accumulations look around a half an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 10 degrees at our studios.
On Thursday night, the Wausau West hockey team looks to continue their push for a Wisconsin Valley Conference championship as the Warriors play host to Marshfield. Hear all the exciting action live on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.fm and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:45 and the opening faceoff at 7. Wausau West Hockey is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Coast to Coast Marketing, and the Wausau West Hockey Booster Club. Thursday night, it's Wausau West Hockey versus Marshfield. Again, hear the game live only on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.fm and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:45 and the opening faceoff at 7 p.m. Download the free Civic Media app by going to your app store and searching Civic Media. And also check out the action on WXCO.fm on the Sports 2 stream.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Governor Evers announcing a new Office of Violence Prevention, talking about gun safety. And J.R. Ratcliffe, stalk all things sports in hour number two. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The past, you must fight just to keep them alive. It's
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 12 noon, Wednesday, January 15th. But thanks to Pat Kreitlow for being on the show. You can hear him every morning on Civic Media 6 until 8 on select stations and always on the Civic Media app. Great guy. Always appreciate it. And it's, you know, fun when we don't always agree on everything.
Yeah, you know, I just have to play some Eye of the Tiger to hype us up for the cage match next week.
By the way, yesterday we were talking about 80s and 90s music. That was another great song from high school, Eye of the Tiger. We played that in a halftime show and a pep band all the time under the direction of our great band director, Lauren Jensen.
And so, pep bands still play it all the time.
It's a great tune. Great tune. Talking about, going to continue this a little bit because I think it's important to have a discussion. Governor Evers announcing yesterday a new, yesterday they were calling it an agency. Today they're calling it an Office of Violence Prevention in the wake of the school shooting here in Madison. And they say that they were on this before the school shooting. I would think they probably are with the detail that they provided here. And let me say, as a, you know, a former Republican who left the party in 2011, as a gun owner, still an occasional hunter, particularly pheasant, turkey, I support the gun measures that the reasonable measures that Evers put forward last session, that, by the way, were never taken up by the Republican-controlled legislature. In 2019, Evers called a special session of the legislature to pass a universal gun background check bill, which I support, and a red flag proposal that would allow judges to take guns away from people determined to be a risk to themselves or others. I support that. Republicans immediately adjourned without debating the measure. It was the first of a dozen special sessions Evers called since 2019, none of which have been successful. If I were advising Governor Evers, which I am not, I would say, Governor, let's kick off this new session and let's do statewide listening sessions. Not the ones where you invite, you know, the 25 Democratic supporters in Eau Claire. Let's go up. Because, you know, turns out Jim Schmidt's a great guy, the chancellor up there, and let's hold a student community town hall in Eau Claire from 7 until 8:30 on a Thursday night or whatever. And anybody gets to come. And you're going to ask the people of Eau Claire whether they support a bill that would say a background check is required in Wisconsin. Whether they support a bill that says if you have someone who is involved in a domestic assault situation or dispute, and you can prove to a judge this person is a danger to someone else or themselves, that they should have their firearms taken away for a period of time, at least until they're deemed by a medical professional to no longer be a threat. Ask the people of Wisconsin directly if they support that. My guess is going to be yes. And I'll tell you, legislators will get real nervous when you go into Howard Markline's district in Dodgeville in southwest Wisconsin and you have 400 people show up. And then you go into Green Bay or Sturgeon Bay or Sheboygan and you do the same thing. And yes, you'll get some very ardent MAGA people that will come and swear at you for 5 minutes. Or you put a time limit on. That's what you do. Your staff times it, and I've run these things. Everybody gets 2 minutes. And if someone starts dropping F-bombs, you say your mic's going to be cut off. It has to be respectful. But my guess is the majority of Wisconsin agree with the governor on these reasonable things. And then that gives you the leverage to go to the legislature because essentially you're doing political jujitsu where you turn their own constituents on them. But instead of that, the governor holds a press conference in his very cozy governor's conference room, one of those beautiful rooms of the Capitol, by the way, and surrounds himself, according to the photos from the AP, of school kids and teachers. And that's great. That's great. But to make something politically viable, to actually get something done, you can't always just have your side, quote unquote, on board. You have to be the bigger person to reach across. And people say, why does Evers and the Democrat always have to be the bigger person? It's just the way it is. People of this show know my feelings these days of former Governor Tommy Thompson. But one of the things he was really good at is reaching across the aisle and including Democrats in his cabinet and praising Democrats when he agreed with them. But now he wants to create this office of violence prevention, which is noble. And we're going to run through, this is according to the governor's office, we're going to run through some of these things. According to Evers, the office will, quote, work to connect the dots between state and local government agencies, including law enforcement agencies, to ensure a whole-of-government approach to prevent violence, including gun violence, statewide. That's just bureaucratic talk. Tell people what this is really going to do. Say, you know, after talking with a half a dozen law enforcement agencies in our biggest communities in Wisconsin, what they tell me is they're lacking X, and this office is going to fix that. Number two, support and provide technical assistance to local violence prevention and intervention efforts. Are you going to provide computers? Is it Wi-Fi? Is it broadband? It doesn't say. Number three, administer and award grants to school districts, firearm dealers, law enforcement agencies, nonprofits, and government agencies to support violence reduction and prevention initiatives. To support violence reduction and prevention initiatives. What does that mean? Next one, develop public education campaigns to promote safer communities. All right, I get that one. And finally, identify opportunities to improve statewide policies or laws. Well, here's an opportunity. So you're going to pay people to sit around to tell you what you already know, and then you're going to take it to the legislature in a special session. They're going to gavel in, gavel out, and nothing's going to get done. I'm all for doing something, but it has to be a thoughtful approach, and you have to include more than just your base in the approach. And the perception is you're creating a bureaucracy which is largely unpopular. People are okay with creating new government programs if you explain in real words what it actually does. And I don't understand the lack of good communication from the governor's office on this. I admire him, and I agree with the legislation he wants to pass, like have the legislature pass and him sign into law. I'm all for that. And I call out the Republicans for not having an honest debate on it because they're too afraid to take that vote because of what I said earlier. Because they know, as my dearly departed friend Morris Andrews, the head of the teachers union, once said, first thing I'd do is I'd take a poll. Republicans have the same poll. They know that Evers' legislation is popular. And they don't want to take that vote. So use that as the political wedge. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Karina, listening in Milwaukee, NWAUK. Karina, what say you?
Absolutely agree with you, Todd. And I think that it's a little bit, you can see it in the different states for all this legislation. Unfortunately, Democrats got so upset with Trump winning, with Republicans are winning, that they are kind of unoffensive. It feels like it. They are unoffensive. We're going to do it all by yourself. We don't need you. Blah, blah, blah. No. Guys, this is the one country. We got to work together. And I completely agree about the police, because police is not a preventive unit. Mm-hmm. Police is a crime unit, right? They are for protect and serve, but they're not going to knock on every door and say, how do you feel today?
Right.
Would you like to shut a couple people over here? No. And the background check? Absolutely. They do background check to go piss in the cup. They're doing a background check, and they're not doing a background check when you're buying a weapons, multiple weapons what can shut several like automatic weapons. No, you gotta be reasonable. You cannot do that. What I would do, and I think we're talking about very similar things. I would go back to the police and maybe go into retirement forces. I'm sure there is a lot of retirement policemen who will be really interesting going back to work and actually be a part of the force and have the experience with what they see every day on the streets and how they can put the scenario. Don't just put it like you know that movie with the Tom Cruise? What was it? Minority Report?
Oh, yeah.
That's how it sounds. Mm-hmm. This sounds like Minority Report right now.
I appreciate the call, Karina. Thank you so much. I agree. Again, and maybe Governor Evers and his staff have done this, but it would be nice if they tell us to what Karina said. Have they sat down with current or former law enforcement and asked them, what do you need to make your job better? How can we actually support you? One caller texted in, TJ, law enforcement does at times act as a deterrent, right? Just show of force. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Gene was on the phone, now Gene is off the phone.
Well, Gene, if you call back, we will take your call.
Always a pleasure to talk. We haven't talked to Gene in a couple of days. Give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, and tell us what you think. Because as I'm going down, as I read you that list of things from the governor's office that they say that this office would do, for the life of me, I'm not really seeing much other than the one thing saying that they'd offer more things in schools to talk about mental health or gun violence, which I agree that should happen. I'm trying to say, okay, if you had this in place, whatever this is, one of the many items on the list, if that were in place, would this have prevented the tragedy that happened at Abundant Life Christian School here in Madison, a case where a 15-year-old girl allegedly, apparently, and by the way, that report is still not fully done. We don't have the final results. But it appears allegedly that a 15-year-old girl obtained handguns from her dad, who had obtained them legally and had been trained in how to shoot at a range. As Pat Kreitler said earlier, if we had a gun lockup law, you'd have to have a gun lock on your guns, sure. But if the parent isn't going to adhere to that, I'm much more interested in and support what Governor Evers said in the bills that he wants the legislature to take up. Red flag laws. I support that 100%. Waiting periods, background checks. I support that 100%. And I would take that message directly to the people of Wisconsin. 855-752-4842. Gene, there she is, up in beautiful Eau Claire, WCFW. Gene, I thought we'd lost you. Thanks for calling back.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate that. I was just enjoying listening to back and forth with that lovely lady on the phone and yourself. And, I feel bad for Governor Evers, I have to tell you. I feel bad for anybody that's in leadership with what we're dealing with today. Started in our state and other states with Scotty Walker, and you know what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's tried his best, so he's trying different things. I wouldn't want to be in his position, I'll tell you that for sure, because the people that are running our state don't give two hoots about the people. And I do find it impressive that he utilized the kids, because the kids are the ones that are suffering. The kids are suffering. And the thing that really bothers me more than anything, because when I worked with kids and they had like a death at school.
10 seconds.
Man, the, sure.
Hang on, Gene. We'll bring you back after the break. I don't want to cut you off. Back with more Gene Noclair. Your phone calls, 855-752-4842. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
Our recent reporting explored the massive contributions to Donald Trump's inaugural fund, reportedly reaching $170 million. What are the rules as to how that money is spent? The short answer is, there aren't any. The Federal Election Commission allows private donations to support inaugural activities. This year, that's a parade, a rally, two luncheons, a tea, three dinners, three inaugural balls, and fireworks at Trump's Sterling Golf Club. The FEC requires reporting of donations over $200, but sets no limits or dictates how it's used. Let's say that the Trump inauguration has 12 events and they cost an astronomical $2 million each, a whopping $24 million. That leaves $146 million left. When the inauguration is over, will we know how the leftover money will be used? We won't. While a Trump campaign source told the New York Times some would be used for Trump's presidential library, there are no rules dictating how that money is used. The Inaugural Fund Integrity Act is expected to be reintroduced in Congress in January, which would set a limit of $50,000, require immediate disclosure of contributions over $1,000, and ban corporate and super PAC donations. That's a start, but the legislation still doesn't require disclosure of how that extra money gets spent. Find out more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock on Wednesday, January 15th. Fasten your seatbelts. I am still looking forward to today's What's Worse. I've been talking to Zomers about this for 24 hours.
It's true. He has.
Today's What's Worse. It's very controversial, and it's fantastic. You're not going to want to miss it. You're going to want to weigh in and call in hour number 2. It has to do with cilantro. You think Republicans and Democrats, Trump, Biden, you think that's controversial? We're going to talk about cilantro in hour number 2. But right now, something much more serious. I want to bring Gene, our longtime listener from Eau Claire, WCFW, the Tap up there, great station in the Northwest. Gene, thanks for sticking around through the break. We're just up against the clock, and you know the computer has no compassion. It'll cut me off regardless. I can't say, hang on, computer. So I appreciate you hanging on, Joe, talking about this proposal by Governor Evers yesterday to create what he's calling now a new Office of Violence Prevention. You were saying you worked in public education for a long time, and you wanted to talk about it from the kids' perspective. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I worked in mental health field too, okay? And I worked in a place where I did a lot of suicide intervention, AODA, abuse, different things like that. And also, I worked as a school psychologist and testing and that type of thing, and did a lot of different things here, and also in private practice and also in a hospital setting or in a clinic setting. So these kids, every day, and I'm talking about all kids and younger people, I feel so bad for these kids. And, I've been retired for a long time here, and I'm going to be 70 Friday.
Friday, so happy birthday, Gene.
Yeah, I'm getting up there. I'm over the hill and going down.
Nah, you're only getting better. Go ahead.
You sweetheart. Thank you. First of all, I want to say I appreciate everything that you're bringing up because the public needs to know these things. Parents need to know these things. There has been so many distractions and outrageous calls, and we need to really get together as a society and pay attention to these things. Now, they put those red flag laws out for sure because My father-in-law, his neighbor was shot and killed. He was a psychiatrist. Before those laws were put into practice, there are so many people's lives and the children's lives and people who just have overwhelmed. And it's just amazing. Why are hunters, why are people, and I have guns, I've hunted, but the thing of it is we all need to come together to protect our society. We need to quit this hate stuff, and our people, like Voss, who's ridiculous and shouldn't even be in office, we need to start coming together to hold these people accountable and kick them out of office to help the people in our state. We got to quit playing games and blaming people because, frankly, when you don't meet and do your jobs and you collect money and then you get big money paybacks for doing things for big money and you're not even caring for the people that are paying their taxes, going to work every day, caring for their children. Come on, folks.
Jean,
please wake up.
I want to bring you something. I thought you just 1 second before you go, because you brought up something really, really important. As a former educator who worked in healthcare, and you got to the heart of what I would like to see from the governor and Republicans, but why not go around and say, hey, we talked to, five, 10, whatever, people in public schools. And one of the things that, because a lot of people don't know, guidance counselors, like a lot of people in education, are overworked. They're trying to help kids decide what they want to do post high school. They're also trying to be mental health people. They have a number of jobs. We don't have enough guidance counselors, quote unquote. Why don't we take part of that $4 million and say we're going to allocate this for our public schools in all districts, red and blue, and we're going to dedicate a public health worker in addition to the guidance counselor, in addition to a school resource officer, i.e. a police officer. We're going to address some of these mental health issues in addition to calling for things like the red flag law and the waiting periods. To me, that's a more a holistic approach where you're saying we're going to actually provide support to both law enforcement and mental health. That seems like an actual solution to me.
Outstanding, yes. I will call Governor Evers' office after you get done and make that suggestion.
You're amazing, Jean. Happy birthday.
Great work.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
855-752-4842. Kurt in Madison says Governor Evers needs to start traveling and conduct town hall meetings. Sitting on the Hill has little impact with the residents of Wisconsin. It's so fundamental. Sheesh. I totally agree with that. Also, Liz in Sun Prairie saying, recent guns, parents need to be held responsible if they don't lock up their guns. If I need to keep medicine in a cabinet, then let's see here. Sorry about that. Away from my young children and would be charged with neglect or involuntary manslaughter if my kids were to overdose. Certainly a gun owner needs to keep those weapons out of the hands of a juvenile. Very quickly, let's go to Rob in Port Edwards. Rob, up against the clock. If you can make it quick, go ahead.
Yeah. I think inviting all of these different folks are probably what Evers wants to do. I think what he's doing right now is throwing the gauntlet down and generating discussion just as is happening on your radio station here. And come on, to the table. You don't like what I'm proposing? You think it's all nebulous and light and fluffy? Bring your ideas. Bring your discussions. Let's generate the forum.
Yeah.
And let's start. But let's start with information. And that's what he's going to do, is put out the information. This is what's really going on.
Great.
Going back to teachers and all that. The Republicans have never taken any teachers seriously, so I can't see them being the ones to initiate educators, but inviting them to the table.
I agree with you, Rob. That's a great point, by the way. If Republicans and Rob Voss don't like what Evers is putting on the table, then you bring ideas and let's have a real discussion. Agree with that. Nice discussion. Well done, everybody. Come on back. A what's worse, you're not going to want to miss. At least I don't want to. It's the Todd Hallball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author Jody Hinman into the studio. Then director Anders Lindwall joins the show to discuss his film Green and Gold. That's how you light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. There's some confusion after mediators reported a ceasefire and hostage release deal between Israel and Hamas after 15 months of war. CBS's Margaret Brennan says the deal has Hamas releasing hostages in stages in exchange for Palestinian prisoners held by Israel.
It has been negotiated with the agreement of the brother of Yahya Sinwar, the architect of that brutal assault on Israel. His brother signed off on this deal, I am told, by high-level U.S. and local sources.
People have taken to the streets of Gaza and Israel to celebrate the deal. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
Both in Israel and in Gaza, people are exhausted from this war. For the families of the hostages, it's been a huge trial, but actually for the whole country.
But there's late word from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office that a ceasefire deal has not been reached yet. It says some issues remain unresolved, but says those details will hopefully be finalized tonight. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
I'm Brittany Merlot.